Welcome to Beauty and the Gi, a podcast about jiu-jitsu and so much more. I'm AJ Klingerman, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt obsessed with jiu-jitsu.
I'm Jennifer Risser, a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt on her last podcast. Well, it's kind of exciting, so that means Jen's coming back.
That is exciting.
International superstar Jen Eads is coming back next episode in 2 weeks from now.
Yes, so we'll be glad to have her back, but I have enjoyed sitting in the closet with you recording podcasts.
We do, in fact, record our podcasts in the closet. Oopsies. We'll look behind the curtain.
It's the best place for sound.
It's just funny. We live our lives very out, but,
but
record our podcasts very in the closet. So here we are. We're very excited to have Jen back. I'm sure the editing will be smoother and the sound quality will improve. So don't judge me.
And I think we're bringing back video along with Jen.
Ooh.
So, you know, she's great at editing. So I think that she'll bring the video portion back too. So if you want to watch it on YouTube, you can.
Excellent. What a delight. Yeah. I always like to watch it.
Yeah. So today we are doing a little bit of Ask a Black Belt. We posted on, I think on our Instagram stories, asking for your questions. And we got several questions. And so we were just going to dive into that while we have two black belts on the podcast.
All right. What's our first question?
All right. Let's see. Our first question comes from Sunnyside Up, and that's K-N-E-E, which I think is super cute. And it is, how do you overcome feeling stagnant on the mat?
Oh, that's a great question. I feel like that's a very common issue lots of people have. I mean, in life, you have those moments, right? So in jiu-jitsu, there are lots of ways to do that. You can gamify your training. So set specific goals for yourself in one way or another. Maybe that's, well, it depends on your rank. If you're a white belt, it looks different than if you're a black belt, right? But you saw that Instagram move, maybe you try it if you're a higher rank. You see if you can hit it that night. If you're a lower rank and maybe you're not there where you can just hit a move without drilling it, still choose things that you're going to work on. You know, be intentional about your training. Come in and say, I'm going to do XYZ. Sometimes that just means mixing up what your game is. So, you know, if your A game is tripod sweeps, maybe don't hit tripod sweeps. Maybe work on your half guard or something else you've really been wanting to work on. I think getting out of a slump is best treated by finding joy in jiu-jitsu again, whatever that means for you. So find something you really like and work on it, or find the piece about jiu-jitsu that you really like and try to focus on that.
I think too, like, definitely as, you know, blue, purple, brown, black, even just trying to hit the move of the day. So like whatever was taught in class, like that's going to be something different most nights. So being able to try and hit that in your live rounds kind of helps you from being stagnant. Also, we do some fun things at the gym, you know, like at Christmas time, they pull out of a stocking naughty or nice. And if they're on the nice list, they're supposed to do like arm bars and chokes. If they're on the naughty list, they're doing ankle locks and toe holds and wrist locks and stuff like that. Or we do the Easter egg hunt where they find an egg and that egg has a certain submission in it. And, you know, like if they're brand new, I'll whisper a different submission for them. But, you know, like it might just be like a Kimura or something. And so it's fun to watch them and see them trying to pull off that move without their partner knowing that, like, that's the thing they're going for. And it really gets them out of their normal jiu-jitsu funk.
Yeah, exactly. Mix it up. Pick a new thing you want to work on and just work on that thing. Just try to hit it for the night or hit it for the week or the month or however long. Yeah. I think that's really good advice.
Yeah, I think that'd be very helpful.
It also maybe just depends on the reason for your funk. You know, it might be mixing up partners or cross-training. You know, just drilling with people that you haven't drilled with before, training with people you haven't trained with before, go to a camp. Yeah.
We hear that time and time again, like that people were kind of like, you know, falling out of love with jiu-jitsu or just in a funk or, you know, just feeling stagnant. And they come to role model camp or to one of our like white belt intensives and just fall back in love with jiu-jitsu. Like that, a camp is a really good thought about how to get out of feeling stagnant.
Yeah, thank you.
Ari Staniforth asked about finding a gi that fits. So tips for tall, short, big, small people, which brands may work better for who?
Ooh, that's a big question. Well, if you're a woman, there are a lot of women's grappling pages, at least on Facebook. So Women's Grappling Network, Midwest Women's Grappling Network. There's like a women over 40. There's probably a women over 50. I don't know.
Yeah.
There are all sorts of women's groups is the bottom line. And what I see, oh, Mighty Dames too, if you're a heavyweight, that can be a really good group to look at. But posting sort of what your stats are, height and weight, maybe a picture of yourself. Lots of times people can comment and say, oh, I'm very close in size to you. Here's what I wear. I think that is the easiest way to know because gis are so different across the board. An example is, you know, I'm a heavyweight. And so I usually recommend inverted gear or 93 brand or something with an H on it for heavyweights. You know, if you're not a tall heavyweight, lots of times you need that H or that W to fit. If you're tall, an L means long.
Yeah.
So a taller gi can be helpful. And I think different brands are known for different types of cuts. So, for example, like a Show Your Roll is kind of a slimmer fit cut, or Kings can be sometimes like a bit of a slimmer cut and that sort of thing. So do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like I'm kind of a big booty girl. I have thick thighs. And for me, a Fuji women's cut has always fit best. But there have been a couple of their brand that didn't. So, you know, even if you find that the type of gi or the brand of gi that you like best, sometimes they'll put out something new and it's like, oh, my crack would stick out of this if I,
right.
You know, like, so it's not, that's why I do think, you know, asking on the pages is great because you might not just get the brand, but like, I actually recommend this specific gi or something like that.
Yeah. Mao Fightwear is a really good option. They allow you to, I think they allow you to mix match tops and bottoms, don't they?
I think so.
They have a very complex size chart, but I've heard that their customer service is really great. So reaching out to customer service is, I think, a good idea. You know, no one knows their fit better than the company does, at least in theory. If you hear Origin, Origin is an American-made company. There are a lot of great things to say about Origin. At the same time, some women do not find that they fit women's frames very well. They don't have a women's cut. And so that would be a cautionary tale, I think, on that brand particularly, because sort of the Origin thing is, oh, well, it's based on your measurements. But for women, it just kind of isn't sometimes, depending on how you're built.
Yeah. Yeah. I did not look good in an Origin gi. It did not fit correctly.
Yeah. I've known several women who got Origin gis where it just never really worked out for them because they were a little curvier. So that's just something to know too. A couple ideal suggestions could be if you know a gym in your area that has a decent sized pro shop, go try some gis on. Like, we keep a bunch of gis in our inventory and we let people come try gis on even if they don't buy from us. I mean, ideally they do, but you know, it helps them figure out what types of gis might fit them. Also, you know, if you're at an open mat or at your gym and you see someone that kind of looks like you, maybe go ask them to try their gi on. Especially women are like so friendly and helpful with that kind of thing. Like, I remember at this year's camp, one of our girls, Helson, we've been looking for a gi for her. And one of our friends, Noelle from Elena's gym, was there. And I was like, go talk to her. I will go ask her, but I'm busy right now. So go talk to her and find out what gi that is, because that would be perfect for you. And go try it on too. And she did try it on, I think. She bought the gi. It worked out great. So I think women's jiu-jitsu is awesome in that kind of sense, because we can do things like that for each other. So
definitely. Okay. Allison W. Fit asked about instructor turnover at a new gym. So that's all that it says. My assumption of this is that she maybe owns a gym and is trying to have a solid instructor there, or she's a new student at a gym and there's lots of different instructors.
Hard to say. It could be someone running a gym. It could be someone asking, like, is this a red flag? That sort of thing. It's hard to know without more context.
Yeah.
On this one, I think asking about it to the head coach, if you're a student, you know, hey, what's going on? Like, even just in a nice way of, oh, I really liked so-and-so. What happened to them? Like, trying to find out sort of the reasoning. Sometimes it's just not a good fit. You know, we've gotten rid of several instructors that just turned out not to be the right fit in one way or another for us. So turnover can be a bad thing and it can be a really good thing. You know, when you have a cancer within your gym, that cancer spreads if you don't cut it out. So it could be something like that. It could also be that the cancer is a higher level and the instructors are leaving for that reason. So sometimes I think that's hard to suss out.
Yeah.
But the thing that I'm working on for myself is just trusting my own gut better. You know, you might not like what the answer is, but you should trust your gut a little bit on what you think the answer is.
Yeah. And Allison, if you want to shoot us a message and dive a little deeper into that question, I'd be happy to answer more for you.
Yeah. And if it's someone that's looking for an instructor, maybe post on, you know, local pages. We recently were looking for a kickboxing instructor, and so we had posted on some local like chatter type pages on Facebook to sort of cast out a net. We also reached out to some sort of gyms in the area just to see, you know, we like your vibe, you guys are cool, is there anybody you know that might be looking to teach that kind of thing? So I think talking to people that you trust that might be able to give you some names could be a good option.
Definitely. Monica Power said, you could literally just whisper random noises and I'd be happy. So, pss, pss,
pss. Monica Power, you have the power.
Then she said, or you could absolutely call me names and I'd put it on repeat. So, here you go. Monica, you are awesome.
Monica, you're a sweet angel. We love you. I don't know if you know this, but we're all going to Costa Rica next year. So, I hope that means you are too.
Monica, we love being with you. This isn't calling you names, but we think you're a delight.
Only AJ's whispering, so I guess I have to talk normal volume now. She specifically asked for whispers, but okay.
Sorry, my bad.
Monica, we miss you. Come live in Indiana. Monica, Nicole, Amy, Katie, please.
Move to us.
It wouldn't be a podcast with me on it if I didn't beg my friends to come train with us.
Okay, Marnie Wheeler asked about how fear of harming your partner or people pleasing affects your jiu-jitsu growth.
Oh, that's a good question. That's a really good question. Do you want me to start or do you want to start?
I think one thing I'd like to start with, because I tell a lot of people when they're first coming in about this, especially women, because women are taught to be delicate more often. And so, you know, like I was teaching Neon Belly the other day and nobody wanted to actually be Neon Belly. And so I give the speech of, here's the thing, like this person may compete someday, or maybe they're in a self-defense scenario or whatever that is. You don't want the first time they actually feel Neon Belly to be in a competition. Like going too easy on them, being too light on them actually isn't just hindering your own growth, it's hindering theirs as well. And I think that goes for submissions too, right? We had a student, Adam, that wasn't ever trying to submit. And I was like, you have to for a few reasons. One, I need to know that you can do the submission. Two, you're keeping your partners from being able to work out of the submission. So they're not getting the opportunity to know if they can defend it because you're too worried about hurting them. So.
Yeah, that's great advice. Yeah, I think a lot of people think, oh, I'm just doing catch and release, but it's not catch and release if you, you know, do like a Kimura grip on the arm and you're like, I got the arm bar. No, you didn't. Like, get it all the way extended and then release it if you need to. This is a great question, and it's a very difficult situation. This is something I dealt with a lot when I started jiu-jitsu. I'm a heavyweight, like I said, and being a heavier person, it can be even harder. You know, I think it's hard for most women when they come into jiu-jitsu, but as a bigger woman, I think it's really hard, especially because as a newbie, you don't necessarily know what's going to hurt someone and what isn't, right? Because in jiu-jitsu, like jiu-jitsu is so different than anything that you really do in life unless you wrestle or something. And so it can be really hard to know what's going to hurt someone and what isn't. So maybe even just asking questions about how does that feel? If I did this, would it hurt you? You know, some people are really verbal. And so if you're a verbal person, maybe that's how you get there. For me, personally, the way I dealt with that is I sat my butt down. So I played guard and really sucked for a long time at guard. But, you know, I was very in control of my own weight, right? I wasn't in great shape when I started jiu-jitsu. I didn't have a lot of strength. And so I just sat down and played guard. And I knew, you know, I'm not going to hurt them in the sense that I'm gonna like drop my weight on them or something like that, you know? And so that's what did it for me when I started.
Well, and you had kind of said like, nobody can complain about me being too heavy if I'm on my butt.
Yeah, true, true. I mean, you know, when you're the heaviest girl in the room, sometimes you know, people don't necessarily want to roll with you or something like that. I try to make sure that that doesn't happen these days in our gym, but you know, starting with guard can be helpful if that's the kind of thing you're concerned about. At the same time, you know, when we're talking about doing Neon Belly or something like that in class, I think a good rule of thumb could be just do your best to control your weight, right? Never be free falling weight. because of what you did, right? If someone took you to the ground, that's free falling weight, but that's what they did. But it, don't just like drop your knee onto their ribs. Control your weight, control your strength. Those might be meaningless statements now to you if you're brand new, but maybe just asking about how to do that from someone in your gym could be helpful too.
Yeah. And what has come of you sitting on your butt is now you're a phenomenal guard player, and we have an open guard camp coming up if some people would like to learn from you.
We do. What are those dates?
October 17th through the 19th.
I knew it was those dates. That was a test. It is on sale. We actually still have a scholarship or two left, so if you'd love to come to that, let us know. We'd love to have you. I think we're going to do a Halloween party the Saturday night of camp. We usually do some sort of social thing, and this year it's close to Halloween, so I think we're going to do that. And it's going to be really fun. And it's going to be a very conceptual camp, so we're really excited about it.
I can't wait for that camp. I'm really excited.
Me too.
Okay, so Tater Tot 013 asked about coming back to jujitsu after a long break, a year, for example, especially as a higher belt.
It's hard. It is really hard. And frankly, I just run my mouth because all I do is talk. Maybe you should speak about this first because you've been out at various times at higher ranks because of like foot surgery and that kind of thing.
Yeah, it definitely is a thing where you really have to let go of your ego. You know, for me, it's been coming back after surgeries or illnesses or something like that. You know, I've known women, you know, Natty Boss came back as a brown belt after being pregnant. And, you know, like she was worried about people passing her up. I remember her talking about that. But you just really have to kind of let go of your ego and know that people got better while you were gone. You know, I'm still in there teaching classes constantly, even when I can't train. And I remember at the end of one night just being like, oh my God, you guys are getting so good. Like, I'm in trouble.
I'm in danger.
So you have to let go of your ego and you have to just give yourself some grace. Like, at first, your responsibility is just getting jujitsu back in your body, remembering how to roll, remembering, you know, there's going to be so many times, and this happens whether you took a break or not, where you, you know, like go, oh yeah, I used to play this game. Like, why did I stop? Why did I get away from that? Or, you know, like, I used to be really good at this. That's definitely going to happen if you took a long break. We also just recently did a podcast about this, maybe two podcasts ago. So dive back in a couple episodes and it's on getting started or getting restarted in jujitsu.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. I think also, like, just give yourself some grace and don't expect to be the person you were when you left. Our bodies change. So, you know, if you had a pregnancy, your body's definitely changed. If you had an injury, your bodies might be different in one way or another. If you had a surgery where you had like hardware put in, you might not move the same. For me, I had several concussions in a row. So, you know, easing myself into training was what I had to do. Figure out what's right for your circumstance, whether that's easing. For most people, it's easing yourself back into training, right? Don't go 1,000,000%. I'm going to train 2 a days every day for a month. You're going to burn yourself out and you're probably going to hurt yourself. You know, ease yourself back in, give yourself the grace, remember jujitsu's fun, and just do it for the love of the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And keep in mind, the mats always welcome you back. You know, your friends are going to be glad to see you. They're going to be glad to have you back. They don't care whether you remember jujitsu or not. Okay. Let's see. Ari also asked how to deal with mean girls at the gym. By mean, she means exclusionary to the new girls.
Do we think this is as an upper rank or as a new girl?
I think it's as a upper rank more.
Okay, well, so dealing with mean girls is hard, right? The best way to do it is to call it out. That's not always the easiest thing. Something that can be easier is leading from the front, you know, being welcoming to the new women, introducing yourself, helping them pair up, even if it's not with you, helping them through the warm-ups, that kind of thing. You know, I think it's good to help new women. I think everybody should be. At the same time, you can't let it be all your training becomes, right? You can't always be the person that's helping the new woman. But as women, I think we recognize if we want women to train, we have to help the women, right? Yeah. If you leave the woman on the wall and you're just kind of doing your thing, she might not come back. So if you want women to train with you, go help them. I recognize that that was not the question. The question was about mean girls. But I think either leading from the front with that or, you know, kind of calling it out. It doesn't have to be like, hey, you're being mean. It can just be like, you know, oh, she's nice, or, oh, I'm really glad we had someone new come in, or, you know, something like that. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, people get very comfortable. They have their favorite training partners. They, you know, tend to have their favorite rolling partners. And I think just reminding them, you know, like we have a group Discord, there's a women's chat in it. And sometimes I'll just post, you know, like, hey, just a reminder, cause, you know, like the new woman that comes in might not be in the Discord yet. So like, just a reminder, when there's new people, grab her, you know, like help her feel comfortable. I think also like not engaging in any sort of drama, you know, like if in the locker room the new girl leaves or something and then they start like chatting about her, like making sure to shut that down. You know, I don't know if that's part of the mean girl stuff that she's talking about or just excluding, but you know, I think, you know, reminding the other girls that you were there once as well, you were the brand new girl, and she might not know the traditions or protocol or, you know, stuff like that. So that kind of thing can be helpful too.
Yeah, love it. Great advice.
All right. Lillian Fuentes asks, what's it like to be a brown belt? I just got mine and not sure what to expect. First of all, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. That's awesome. Being a brown belt is a lot like being any other rank, honestly. You're just more awesome than you were before. For me personally, it was the worst color belt. Some people maybe like brown, but I didn't particularly. I really didn't even have any ranked brown belt gear or anything like that. I think for different affiliations, brown belt looks different. You know, I've heard instructors say, well, the brown belt is the teaching belt, but I've been teaching since white belt, you know, so for me, it wasn't. For me, it was mostly just that next level.
I don't know, but I've also heard that brown belt is basically just like you're in waiting for your black belt. It's like on deck.
Yeah, it's like a black belt, but a little less awesome. No, but it's, you know, it means you're close. You're refining your game. You're refining maybe your instruction or maybe just pieces that need to be black belt level, right? Probably pieces of your game are already at black belt level. Pieces of it maybe aren't. So maybe focusing on those pieces can be good. For me, it also felt like a lot of pressure because like black belt's next, right? You can't quit at brown belt. Like nobody quits at brown belt, right? But it's sort of just like the slow march toward black belt. Like, you know, it's coming. For some people, it's really exciting. For me, it was terrifying. It's still a little horrifying. I regularly try to pick up a purple belt off the mat because I think it's my belt and it just isn't. Good luck at brown belt. Let us know how it's going. Hopefully it's just as fun as purple belt. I mean, it's less cute maybe, but you know, it's a necessary evil to get to black belt.
Okay. Maya Zavala Fit asked about training with your spouse or partner.
Anything particular?
Not that she says.
I feel like we just talked about this in a recent podcast because we were talking about, we have a couple couples that have, we've been sort of mentoring through this situation. Mm. So within the last podcast or two, sorry to not know which one, but I know in one of those we talked about it. I think when we were talking about new people coming to the gym.
Yeah, I think you're right.
It can be hard. It can be really hard to train with your partner or spouse. And I think it depends on if you're the upper rank or the lower rank, right? Or, you know, which one of you is physically maybe more athletic or stronger. Whoever has the upper hand, meaning higher rank, better athleticism, more strength, I think it behooves you, especially if you want your partner to continue training, to let them work. Don't smash them. You don't need to prove to them that you're good at jiu-jitsu. You want to show them how fun jiu-jitsu is. And I think I see a lot of people make this mistake where they're so excited, they just want to roll with their partner and they don't think about how it's going from their partner standpoint or the internal monologue that's happening in their partner's brain. So as the person with the upper hand, I think maybe think of those things, let them work, teach them stuff, let them have those little wins. As the person that does not have the upper hand, you know, do your best not to get frustrated, not to get mad. And maybe you can communicate sort of, you know, when you did this, here's how I felt. Here's how I interpreted that behavior. Can you explain to me what that means or why that happened? Or, you know, how can I get a better role from you? For some couples, you probably just shouldn't role together. I've met a lot of couples that just do much better when they don't role.
sometimes even when they don't drill together.
Truly. I mean, you know, sometimes a bossy personality comes out, or, you know, there's frustration from something else that happened in the day or the week, and it's kind of spilling over into training. So sometimes it's good just to have, you know, your friend that you can train with or something like that. You can, or you can ask your partner to partner you up with someone else if you need that.
I remember in my previous relationship that I remember saying once, anywhere else this would be considered domestic violence. Like, because sometimes he was just way too hard on me for my ability and strength and, you know, like, skill level.
And I think that's a hard truth sometimes, is the person with the upper hand is wielding power they shouldn't be in a way that's not appropriate or consensual for training. That's maybe a more offline conversation. So if that's sort of the kind of situation that's happening, maybe contact AJ and we can maybe work through that a little bit. That's a really hard dynamic to beat. And I think the only way you do it is with really clear, healthy communication.
I would like to point out, though, that now, like, here we are, two women black belts, spouses, and you're absolutely my favorite training partner. You always have been since you started training. And we have a lot of fun together. But there are still some issues. Like, sometimes we have trouble going hard with each other. Or, you know, sometimes we're worried about hurting the other one more than we would be. Like, we're extra cautious, which is a nice dynamic to have. But so, like, sometimes it can be the other end of the spectrum, too.
That's a great point. I mean, AJ and I have definitely had conversations where I've said, you've got to be harder on me. You've got to go harder with me. I need you to be attacking XYZ on me. In a competition, they're going to be going after me. So I need you to help me get there, right? So maybe that's what you're having happen too. Who knows? That's a really good point.
Yep. So thank you. You're still my favorite training partner, and I still try to attack you, but some days I struggle with it.
A funny thing about me rolling with AJ is she just kind of lets me do stuff sometimes. Like, the number of times I've John Wayne swept you in my life is astronomical.
I can't say that I let you do that ever.
You don't not let me do it. And at this point, it has to be a choice.
I'm like, oh yeah, okay, let's do that again.
A little treat for Risser. You've been good today. So best of luck to you. I hope this is helpful information.
Yeah.
If anybody asked a question that we didn't really do a good job answering, please feel free to message AJ. We can at least give you better advice via Instagram, or Jen can pop on and give her 2 cents. Yeah. Because I'm banned from the podcast forever.
I don't think that's true.
Probably not forever, just until Jen gets bored or needs a break.
So thank you guys all for submitting your questions. I think we had a lot of great questions and a good variety. Yeah. So I think this has been one of my favorite, like, ask us anything kind of podcasts that we've done. So thank you for filling in for Jen. Been lovely having you on the podcast.
Thank you all for dealing with my nonsense and tomfoolery. It's been a great time.
If you would want to get in touch with us, you can reach us at Beauty and the Geek Podcast. You can also reach me at AJ Klingerman everywhere you go, including TikTok, which I've got a lot more followers on recently. It's been wild.
Yeah, she's got some good technique videos on there that are really good. And frankly, she has some really fun just talking at the camera moments. AJ sort of, I don't know if vlogging is the right word, but I think they're fun. So I would highly recommend that you follow her on that. You can find me on Instagram at jrizinthehiz. Good luck on spelling that. You can probably search it in AJ's follows.
That's true. The actual head role model in charge.
How dare you? I quit.
Too late.
Oh, I haven't edited this podcast yet. It doesn't have to come out.
Shoot. Don't quit yet.
There's a lot of editing to do. We did not do a good job today.
All right. Well, until next time, we will see you
on the mat.
Why didn't I say it with
you? I don't
you?
Know.
That's how this podcast is ending.
I think I'm leaving extra chaos in this podcast as my last gift to everyone.
Yes.
And I act like I'm dying. I'm not dying. I'm just dead to you guys.
No, not to me.
All right, one more time.
Okay. We'll see you. No, wait. Tune in next time. Oh, I liked the rhyming things. So for this rhyming one, I was like, if you like what you've heard, spread the word.
I love that.
All right. Tune in next time and we'll see you
on the mat.
Beauty and the Gi is a production of the Brassy Broadcasting Company.
And brought to you by Role Model Grappling.
Yay!